All right. Good afternoon, audience. My name is Patrick Hogan. I'm from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. I'm working under the guidance of Dr. Alan Walters, and today I'm going to present about microbial biofertilizers for pepper production. So biofertilizers are stimulatory plant growth promoting microorganisms that colonize the rhizosphere, and what they're going to do is they're going to alternatively assist with plant nutrient uptake, plant growth promotion, disease resistance, and that's utilizing the microorganism to plant root synergism. There's different modes of action. You've got nitrogen fixers, you've got phosphate solubilizers, there is also plant growth promoting rhizobacteria, and of those, Pseudomonas putida fits two of them, and that's what we're going to focus on today. So they're described as gram-negative, rod-shaped. They have flagella, they're motile in the soil profile. They've been described as plant growth promoting, phosphate solubilizing again, and because of those traits, they also do the root growth and morphology enhancement and biocontrol elements there too. So some of the possible mechanisms that we have with our strains of P. putida are cytokinin production, IAA production, ACC deaminase production, acidophore production, phytase production. So with the cytokinins and the IAA, that's going to enhance the growth physiologically, and the ACC will reduce ACC deaminase will reduce ACC in the profile of the soil. That's going to reduce ethylene. Acidophore production is going to chelate iron. That's going to make germination for pathogenic fungi a lot more difficult. And then there's the phytase production. That's going to release that mineral form of phosphorus. So the main objective here is to determine the optimum application timing and dosage of our P. putidas, strain 17-29 and G11-32, on Revolution Green Bell Peppers for their growth and yield. We have lab materials and we have field materials. So we have our two strains of P. putida, 17-29 and G11-32. We're using our shaker and for our nutrient solution, we're using nutrient broth number 3. We also have an inoculum nutrient solution 2. We've got our Erlenmeyer flasks, 1 through 5 millimeter pipetter, and we're going to use our autoclave. In the field, we've got Revolution bell peppers, green bell peppers. We're using Yara-Kel nitrate, and to measure growth, we're going to use a SPAD meter. We're going to use our ruler, caliper, and scale. For fertilization, we're delivering that with our portable dosatron. All of our rows are on drip line irrigation under black plastic, and our row dimensions are 125 foot by 2.5 foot wide. The methods for preparing our inoculum: we sterilize all our equipment for 45 minutes in the autoclave. The inoculum is prepared by incubation at 23 degrees Celsius at a constant speed of 200 RPM for 20 hours until cells reach stationary phase. We also added the inoculum nutrient solution at 10% total volume to boost the viability of P. putida and make sure that it could colonize that rhizosphere area. We also did our serial dilution, so we're doing 1.7 times 10 to the 9 cells per milliliter, also 10 to the 7, 10 to the 5, 10 to the 3, and then 0 cells for our control solution. We're also testing 2 timings, so we have we're applying once at week 3 and our second applications at week 4 after sowing the seeds. So our field methods, we have a randomized complete block design with 3 applications. It's 3-way factorial. We've got our 5 doses. We also got 2 strains of bacteria, and we also have 2 application times. We have positive control. All the plants were given the same conventional fertilizer. And then when we wanted to evaluate the growth and yield, we're going to look at for growth, early, mid, and late growth. Our tests are vigor, height, SPAD, number of flowers, and caliper of stem. With yields, we had 5 harvests that we looked at, and we also combined the early harvest as 1 and 2, and late harvest is 3, 4, and 5, and then we wanted to look at the combined harvest as well. And with that, we were concerned about the number of peppers that were being produced, the total weight, average pepper weight, and average diameter of the peppers. We don't want things to be greater or smaller than what's already available commercially. So we had some really interesting results by bacteria and our application and our inoculum dose. So for bacteria, these are some of our effects, and you can see that the strain had an effect in early growth, and that goes to show about pea pudo, which is it is an early plant growth promoting rhizobacteria. So this is what we wanted to see, and it is interesting to see that the two strains perform differently. We've got the early height being affected greater by the 17-29, and as well that caliper, the stem, is going to be thicker too, so that's good. You want the plants to grow tall, but you don't want them to be weak at the same time, so they've got the support. And we continued, and you can see in the early harvest that pea pudo 17-29 performed significantly greater than G11-32, and that even affected the combined harvest. And we used students' t-tests to separate those means. For application results, we only saw an effect at the harvest number one, and two applications significantly increased our yield there. Same test, students' t, the 5% level. This is our inoculum dose chart. It's awesome. So you can start off at zero inoculum. That's our controls. And the early height is the shortest. And if you go all the way up with the strongest inoculum dose, you have the tallest plants. The fastest. This is promoting the early growth. Yeah. And same with the early caliper. And this is very significant for the groups. So you have control it. Group C, and then you have 10 to the 9 in Group A. That's going to go forward, and that's exhibited with our harvest yields at first harvest. Same with early harvest, and there at combined harvest. So we went from control at 2.985 kilograms to 4.235 with full inoculum dose. You also note that 10 to the 5 came into the same category. Same group there in Group A, so that's interesting to talk about in a little bit too. Here we're going to talk about a couple of histograms with flower numbers and fruit count, and we even saw a difference between bacteria strains and how that related to flower numbers, and 17-29 in early flowers increased the early flower numbers the most. So. And if we look at early flower numbers by inoculum dose, the control at zero cells and then versus a billion, you can see how much that increased it there. This is a total flower number by inoculum dose too, and these are the standard error bars up there. So if you have control and you have 10 to the 9 or 10 to the 5, you're coming in really strong. The effect on harvest number one by inoculum dose was very, very significant. So we were able to create a regression model off of that. Our R-squared value is at a 0.405. Our p-value is highly significant at the 0.0001. This is our early fruit number results based off of bacteria strain. And again, 17-29 was able to give us more fruit numbers, and that's what we wanted. We're also going to look at the fruit numbers by inoculum dose, and the fruit numbers has greatly increased by 10 to the 9 and 10 to the 5, and controls coming in last. This is the total fruit number by inoculum dose. So if we go from control over to 10 to the 9, 10 to the 7, and 10 to the 5, they all came in the highest. So what can we conclude? Well, in early plant growth, the strain of pea pudo was significant. So these relationships that exist with the plant and the strain, not just the species, is highly significant. So we need to investigate each strain as well as each horticultural crop. It can change, but here with the green bell pepper revolution, the height was significantly affected by 17-29. And same with the caliper and the early harvest and the combined harvest. We also saw for our application and the early growth that the two application timings has significantly improved our harvest. And when we looked at inoculum dose, again using Tukey's HSD mean separation, we were able to see that the early height and the early caliper and the harvest were all affected. So. And the overall observation by strains of pea pudo, we had the combined harvest having effect. So again, the strain is very significant. And by inoculum dose too. So finding the right concentration per strain is even significant. And overall, we increased our yield by 30.6% with 10 to the 9 population density, and we also increased the number of fruit. The best part was there was no overall significance on average fruit weight or diameter, so this is economical. Overall application had no significance on total weight. We would like to investigate using or timing our application later on in the season, especially with horticultural crops that don't have a determined size, something that has an indeterminate size. So our discussion is current fertility systems used in agriculture may overwhelm the environment with nutrients above crop demands, potentially leading to environmental problems, and utilizing biofertilizers can help manage chemical fertilizer applications throughout the growing season. Biofertilizers assist again with plant nutrient availability and plant hormones, and they're also able to help out with biological control. They can express multiple modes of action with one application. This is a great way to hybridize old and new systems while supporting natural soil system interactions, which is going to build healthier soils in the long term. I'd like to thank Dr. Klubeck, Dr. Walters, Dr. Sue for helping me conduct this research and getting me involved in such a fascinating study, and for guidance with this project. Thanks to all of my teaching greenhouse crew that came out to take data with me and volunteer. And of course, I would like to thank my wife and my son for being my source of inspiration. Thank you.